This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
All right, ready? I'm going to kick us off. You've been home for a few days. I know you had a crazy weekend. I know you stayed up late. I got to see you have a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of the cool stuff with the lightsaber and all the other stuff. Give me a couple of your highlights from the show as a whole.
Probably helping Josh with the after action report panel and booth.
You were hiding the after action report dog tags. That was a lot of fun watching you kind of slink around the show and
casually accidentally drop one, being like, oh, please don't notice I dropped this.
Is there anything else? Any other standout events?
Well, that's one. Pretty much hanging out with RoboSkull the whole time.
Okay, so then you got to hang out with RoboSkull. You got to touch the prototype. You got to change out some of the accessories. All right, now what's number three?
Probably the knights. The lightsaber battles.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stay up really late.
Yeah.
Actually stayed up later than me one of the nights. You and the Spoon Man, you guys had like a pretty extensive lightsaber battle all over the hotel. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. If there were ratings of like who stayed up longest.
You definitely pulled some late ones.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the hall. Were you able to accumulate a good amount of stuff? What do we have for standouts? Give me a couple of your favorite items.
Probably the Indian Sergeant Slaughter Super Cop.
Yep.
The Super Cop Sergeant Slaughter from India.
Where did you get Super Cop?
From Roma.
That's awesome. Because I know he doesn't always pop up that often, being a foreign figure.
Roma had like three of them, plus the one I got.
That's awesome. And you said you got a Parasite.
Also, I got a Serpentor. If you were Serpentor looking out of his hood, it would be the top left fang. It was broken off. But I don't care that it was broken because it made it look like battle damage, and it's awesome.
You could definitely have some fun with that in your play patterns. Anything else you want to throw out about Joe Fest?
Hanging out with everyone. Big Rich, Raging Spoon, Patrick, not Picard, Stewart, a lot of other guys. Josh, Brock.
You were able to get a lot of FaceTime with a lot of these the people in the lobby.
Ron Rudat is actually working on the Hiss HasLab.
Yes.
Since it funded in like 8 hours. It's insane.
It's true.
Also his wife Jenny.
Yep.
I know for certain I'm not naming everyone. Todd Henderson, Matt Collins.
It would be impossible to try to remember everybody.
My dad made a whole list. At least 100 people. He was chatting with everyone. Ben from RoboSkull. Sean from RoboSkull. The guys at Longbow. Carson from Operation Recall.
Absolutely.
A lot of people.
Was there anything else you want to highlight or do you want to call it?
Sorry if I missed any people, which I definitely did. FYI, I'm still a little mad that you and Dad both saw Big Rich's email about having a Nerf war there, but you never told me.
Well, I'm sorry for that one.
Oh yeah, Joey Panetta and his daughters.
Absolutely.
Kavanaugh.
The one and only.
Trucker Nick. A lot of people.
Was there anything else about the show particularly that you want to talk about?
It was great. The night I should have went to bed earlier, I actually stayed up the latest.
Yeah, what night was that?
The final night of the show. We literally just yawned at the exact same time.
That's true. I'm still very tired. I haven't caught up yet.
So a lot of good stuff on that show floor.
So this is a bit off schedule, but that's because Joe Fest was exhaustingly, beautifully long. You left New York and I left Tennessee Wednesday night, Thursday morning. We both rolled in Thursday and you left early to go home and you still didn't get home till like late Monday. And I did not leave early and I got home late Monday. You've been working an incredible amount of time, Joel, and I've been trying to get back into the swing of things as well. So this is a bit late, which I'm really glad that now it's become like Joe Fest tradition that we sit down with Josh and Roger. They're incredible, and I really appreciate all the time they give us. Even though we're talking about their book, like it's still their time that they're giving us. So I love that, you know, we get to talk to them as part of our Joe Fest experience. And then with Joe Fest itself, you know, a huge thank you to Ed. He doesn't have to do for us what he does. We try to help out as much as we can, but it's Ed's show. It's not our show. So it's always a great thank you to Ed. I always roll in with Todd and Ryan, and Destro's Toy Den is where, you know, it's kind of my home base. But this year, you were set up with the G.I. Joe fan club / James Cavanaugh Jr. booth. So it's a huge thank you to James as well. I wrote down on my way home, I'm talking with A and with Todd and we're spitballing. And I wrote down over 115 different names that I could remember talking to. And that doesn't include people I didn't know their name or people I just chatted in their booth. This is just 115 people that I know that were at Joe Fest out of the few thousand. Through all of that, you know, like Ed and Todd and James, these are big thank yous, you know, because they helped make our experience what it was.
I left Wednesday morning super early. I got into Asheville and crashed there with a buddy. Across the nation on Thursday, they were playing the animated G.I. Joe movie. Absolute beautiful timing that it's Thursday night of Joe Fest and it's playing in Augusta, so we don't have to like travel too far from the hotel. And, you know, I was determined to get there. There's a lot of jokes going around the theater because that was probably like, you know, the best attended theater in the nation. It was a packed house and it was awesome because, you know, let's call it what it is. The movie is goofy as hell. It's a great watch. It's fun. It had to be a treat for you because you haven't, I mean, that movie never hit the big screen.
Yeah, it was great for me because I got to bring, you know, Alexander was with me. Cav and then you and then Todd and A and me. Allman showed up late and then it was Duffy and Haggerty. That was just who got chairs with us. The whole place was packed. And funny enough, I've had four different people reach out to me this week and say, I was wrong. I should have gone to the movies whenever you told me about it. I should have bought the tickets. I should have gone with the group. Yes?
There was a Joe Con that correlated with the release of G.I. Joe Retaliation. It's a similar story. You know, because Joe Con was licensed through Hasbro, they actually got like a special showing for JoeCon. And I remember listening way back when covering that and just like everyone had a blast. Like that movie didn't land necessarily great with the community, but having that memory tied to like, we're all here for our big event. We all get to go and see not a premiere, but a special showing of this movie. Like that's awesome.
Even Rise of Cobra would have landed well when the entire theater is nothing but us. You know what I mean? And this isn't Rise of Cobra. This is G.I. Joe, the movie. This is Cobra Law. And when the whole theater is us, capital U, capital S, underscore on both sides, us. It was fun. It was magical. We all piled out. We all stood in the hallway talking about the movie as if it was a brand new movie we've never seen before. We were talking about the parts we didn't like in terms of the weird visual clipping as they had to make it for the big screen, or they didn't have surround sound and we're so used to surround sound. And then we also got to talk about all the things we loved and just being with each other. It was such a beautiful communion.
Well, that was actually a funny thing is that everybody was hungry. Everybody was ready to go. But because we're so used to when we're in convention mode, we walked out of the theater and just stood in like the most inconvenient spot, hovering around. And then finally, I was, you know, I'm trying to wrangle up everybody who was in my car. I'm like, hey, they're trying to go over here and grab something to eat. We're trying to get back to the lobby, whatever it is. But it was like, I just kind of laughed to myself because I was like, you can't take us anywhere.
Speaking of you can't take us anywhere, honorable mention for that entire movie experience, Raging Spoon. This man, we walk out of the theater, we're looking for him. We're like, hey, where's Raging Spoon? We got to get in the car. And he's walking across the parking lot with Jimmy John's in hand.
Halfway gone, Jimmy John's in hand.
Oh, yeah.
That man wasted no time.
Then we went to a burger joint. He ate with us again. This is a man I want to grow up to be like. You know, it's funny. There were so many people that came out of the theater because we all traveled all day to get there. And we've all seen that movie a dozen times. So many different people talking about, oh, I nodded off at this point. I nodded off at that point. Oh, the guy beside me was snoring. I had to nudge him. Middle-aged nerds in a theater of our movie and our crowd after traveling for who knows how long for some people. 7 hours for me, a lot more for you. Leather chairs that recline all the way back. There was some light snoring in there.
I had to wake up Kev. I had to wake up Todd. I'm truly, in all honesty, I am absolutely shocked that I made it through the movie without nodding off because I was exhausted. And I got to break my drive up, so I technically had only driven 3 hours.
But you had put in a lot more the day before.
I put in over 12 hours the day before with stops and traffic.
The theater was hint number one that I screwed up in my packing. Augusta, Georgia was incredibly hot. And yet, the theater and the show floor was so damned cold at all times. I was like, I should have brought a sweater. At least a hoodie.
What's funny is I almost never wear shorts, and I specifically bought shorts for Showfest. I'm just tired. It's going to be 90 plus, humid as a swamp. Like but then I spent all my time inside, but I still wear the shorts because I bought them. But there was a couple of times on the floor I was like, damn, it's a little bit icy in here.
Yeah, it was frigid. Good on them for their AC units. They were making a 40,000 square foot, two-story room. Icebox. High five to them for taking care of us in that regard, because it could have been so much worse if we had been warm in there.
Oh, it would have been unbearable.
Yeah. Before we ever made it to the movie, we showed up in Augusta at 12:30. It was 7 hours on the nose for us. We go to check into our room and there's already room trading going on. It's 12:30 Thursday. It's not even showtime yet. It's not even load-in time yet. That's tomorrow. Thursday, noon, there's people already shopping in rooms. We get back from the movie, and it's Thursday. And, you know, usually in years past, there's 5, 10, maybe 15 of us on a Thursday. Not this year. There's a bunch of folk on Thursday. There was lobby swap and lobby trades on Thursday night till around 2 a.m. We were all in the lobby until, I'm not exactly sure. So I got up at 3:30 a.m., to drive and do all the stuff. And you guys all called it before I did. Finally, at about 2:45, I'm like, I got to get to bed. It's almost been 24 hours. And I'm walking down the hall and I run into another friend who I hadn't seen and didn't expect to see it this weekend. So, of course, I had to stop. You know, I put in a 24-hour day that night. There were toys, you know, in the lobby at, you know, 1:30, 2 a.m. on a Thursday. The show's not even beginning yet. This is just a Thursday. This is supposed to be... No one is even supposed to be here. This is supposed to be Ed finalizing things, not Ed hanging out with 200 people who have shown up a day before the show starts.
Yeah, Thursday's attendance was definitely way up. I think we're going to see that moving forward. I mean, it's just...
I think so.
Even if you're there not helping, you know, like, obviously the general public didn't get to walk into the sales floor at 7 a.m. on Friday.
But we did. I mean, because that's when we needed to load in. And Ed was really, maybe not Ed, but he talked to the facility and they were gracious about allowing us to load in early. So at 7 a.m., everybody I knew, every vendor I knew was rushing their shit in the building so that they didn't have to be outside at the height of Augusta heat. Because that day was well over 100, right?
Yeah, I was going to say it was 80 degrees, 80 and wet at 7 a.m. And by the time... noon hit, it was damn near 100 degrees and even more humid. So it was like, absolutely necessary because, let's face it, I'm kind of an outlier with my age in this community. So, you know, the heat is starting to affect people a little bit more than it used to.
We had a plan Thursday night. We dropped the trailer gate. We push everything onto the floor. We don't touch a thing until everything is inside the building. But then, you know, as always, we get lucky with other people that are helping other vendors who don't have as much to do or moving a little slower coming over. And also, you know, we have one hand truck and one cart. We had everything in the building in 30 minutes. And then you and Cav were doing the same thing over in your area. Friday morning was real smooth, but I can tell you that after 24 hours Thursday and getting 3 hours of sleep to jump up and eat a power bar, not shower, not brush teeth, just immediately rush outside and start loading things in. It was nice to take a shower after all that.
I was fortunate enough. I was able to help you guys. You know, I was able to help Todd get 75% of his stuff through the door before Cav had got his trailer arranged and we were ready to start loading his stuff in.
They had a weird system where they were like letting people park and then immediately moving them. It was kind of odd. Yeah.
I slept like shit Thursday to Friday, and it was a long day, man.
Are you insulting my couch?
No, it was nothing to do with you guys. It was a funny moment because I had brought, like, you know, my own pillow, my own blanket. It was about 2:30. I got into the, you know, I had crashed with you guys that night. I got in there, prepped for the morning, and I walk out and go, son of a bitch, I never brought anything in. I had that moment where I was like, do I walk all the way outside in the parking lot and get it? Hell no. I used the towel that I had used to shower as a blanket and one of the couch cushions and just said, you know, this is it. I'm going to bed right now.
We did the same thing. Once you had left and gone to your room, A had forgot his blanket out in Todd's truck and we never once got it. So we just took the comforter off of my bed to use as his blanket. He laid on it and we just folded it half on top of him. So it was both his bottom sheet and his blanket. It worked. He also wore like a full onesie, so he was warm. It was fine. We loaded in Friday. Everybody loaded in Friday. We had lunch. We showered. We were promising ourselves that we were all going to take naps. None of us did. You know, and then we just hung out and helped other people set up their booths, talked, you know, did the normal con thing where we just jaw until we're losing our voices before the show starts. Friday night, 5 to 8 or whatever, was great. The floor was hopping. We were making sales. But again, Friday night lobby swap.
Well, before we get to that, I have a couple things to highlight because very much like my first trip to Augusta, I managed to spend a catastrophic amount of money on Friday because I stumbled into some deals that were unbelievable. But not even getting into that, we need to highlight the fact that you were shopping Friday. And that's not you.
You, Shannon, and like 3 or 4 other people were just on my ass about that all Friday night. Like, what are you doing, man? You have money in your pocket? What are you doing? Put your money away. What are you doing? Are you carrying a bag? All you guys.
Well, I mean, it was hilarious because I had ran into Todd on the floor and we were BS and he's like, you're never going to believe this. Jason has got a bin of shit at my booth. He's like, I don't know what's going on, man. He goes, it's Friday afternoon. Yeah, I know. I just watched him buy a set of figures. I checked his forehead. I thought he was sick.
You know, it's funny with Todd. I'm always Sunday and I'm always like, hey, do you still have that thing? And he was like, no, I've already sold that. You knew I had that 2 weeks ago. I didn't even have to bring it to the show. So this time I went, all right. I'm looking for Roblox. So it wasn't anything big. I didn't spend big money. But, you know, it was like, oh, here's a middle years Valor versus Venom Roblox. I'll set that to the side. Here's a Spy Troops Roblox. I'll set that to the side. I wasn't doing like SMSs or, you know, charred assaults or anything. I was just grabbing Roblox, the middle years and the modern Roblox that I don't have. You know, I have 3 carded version 1 Roblox. I could legitimately use a Spy Troops Roblox.
Well, he's your guy, of course. I have a funny, I'm going to call myself out on something since I just went ahead and took a shot at you, but I don't know how much I've really talked about this in this setting, but anybody who's chatted with me knows that, like, I just don't have the nostalgic bug for Sergeant Slaughter. I was too young to have that effect, which is funny because I absolutely loved Hulk Hogan when I was a kid. But Hulk Hogan was still wrestling well past Slaughter. The only modern version of Sergeant Slaughter, there's two. They were released at the exact same time for SDCC. There was the Triple T variant and classic wrestling get-up variant. Around the time that they were available, they obviously immediately were worth money because it's Slaughter. Back then, he sat around the $100 mark, and that was when I was at the bottom of my pyramid. And I was like, I don't think I'd ever spend more than $30 on a figure. There's no way I'd spend $100 on a figure.
I remember those conversations.
So by the time I got around to like being like, well, I would like to have Slaughter for the collection. I'm not a completist by any means, but like I had the feeling. I was like, you know, I would like to have him in my collection in some way or another. Check the prices, immediately priced out. Because that sweet $100 price tag was long gone at this point. But somehow this weekend, I wound up with both variations of the modern SDCC exclusive Sergeant Slaughter.
Are there any other variations to those two figures, or is that just, is that the two?
That's it. In terms of official Hasbro G.I. Joe product.
Wow.
And there's only one other figure in the 4-inch scale, and that was a short-lived line called like Brawl and Build by Mattel, and there were four-inch modern wrestling figures. And that figure is, it's a really nice figure. It doesn't quite match G.I. Joe body builds. It's the same scale. It's not cartoony. It's not exaggerated, but it's also crazy expensive. It hit mass retail, but it was, everybody wants that G.I. Joe card back. Let's call it what it is. You know, you want the Joe card back. Whether you're going to open it or not, that's what you want. You want the file card.
Absolutely.
I got one from Todd. I got the wrestling variant from Todd, and I got the Triple T from the booth that I spent a massive amount of money on Friday and the rest of the weekend. I was able to get both of them worked into deals at a price range that I felt very okay with purchasing. I feel a lot more accomplished than I think I originally thought I would feel after getting both of them.
In thinking about the modern architecture G.I. Joe, what, 2006, right?
Seven.
To current, are you missing 100 figures, 30? I know you're not a completionist, but at this point, are you missing less than 20, less than 50?
You know, I should go through my I should go through my rank and file books and just make a list, because I'm not, to be completely honest, I'm not far off from having everything from the modern era.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for a raw G.I. Joe, I could have been done 5 years ago. But I'm collecting with a child who is capricious and just squirrels as hard as I do. And 93 by itself is a good 100 figures. So we're probably 2/3 to 3/4 of the way done with just 82 to 94. But we legitimately haven't prioritized finishing. You are so much closer, 2007 to current, than I am. And I'm kind of curious. I would love to see that day when you tick off the last figure in terms of a completionist, but I know that that's not a done for you. Like, you're never finished because you army build, you do other things, but just to check mark the box.
What's funny is because some of the stuff I've waited on has climbed so high in price. Like, there's in the 25th line, There was a Target exclusive. I'll never forget the day I saw this in store, but it was called like the Ultimate Battle Box or something. It had a Mobat, a Hiss Tank, Trouble Bubble. I think that's the only way you get modern era short fuse. When I first dove back into collecting, that was kind of like a high watermark for me. I was like, I gotta have this. And the more that I dove into modern and the more I actually started to really like get into the figures themselves, the more I started, you know, being like, I don't know how bad I need that Ultimate Battle Box or whatever it was called, because the Mobat was severely underscaled in the 80s. It's a great toy. The fact that they reissued it, it kind of alleviates some of the stress of trying to find the often lost modern pieces or vintage pieces. I know a lot of people were happy when that came out, but it only came out that one time in that box set, and the box set was, I think, close to $100 retail.
Do you have the figures at least from it?
I don't. I don't know. I mean, a lot of those figures got reissued in one way or another. There was a lot of repacks in the 25th. I'm pretty sure I have Short Fuse to some extent, but he's an unfortunate figure. His head is severely undersized, sort of like some of those, you know, 25th anniversary roadblocks you were hunting this weekend.
There's some doozies in that.
I don't know. You know, it's, will there come a time when I actually do finalize that modern list? I don't know that it'll ever come because I don't know that I care to do it, especially with the price of everything right now being so high.
And I was just curious because I know you're close and I know you grabbed a few things that you didn't have at Joe Fest, like these Sergeant Slaughters. You know, even after the floor closed and we did the lobby swap, dropped a few dollars. Like, I was a madman on a Friday night this year. It was wild. But the lobby swap went on and on. It just moved locations until 2 something in the morning. I'm not sure. We were up late. We were back up and on the show floor by 8 a.m. so that we could do booth reset up and restock. You're over there in Cavs. I'm over there in Todd's. We're working. We're putting things together.
I told myself this year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a little bit more responsible. And Friday night, I was just so physically exhausted that about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I just kind of did an Irish goodbye. I have to go to bed. I'm feeling bad. I'm in a bad mood. I'm exhausted. Saturday was crazy. And Saturday, you and I kind of closed the lobby. No, we absolutely closed the lobby. It was 4:30 in the morning when you realized you didn't have your key.
Yes. But before all that, wow. So before all that, you know, the show opened at 9 a.m. It was open till 5. The day was nuts. I think last year was busier. This year, Heroes Con was going on 3 hours away, and it's like 60 some odd plus thousand people. It's a big comic show. They've got toy vendors. It certainly didn't hurt Joe Fest, but I probably took a couple people. It was still very crowded. It was still very busy. We were running numbers. And this is where, especially Saturday and Sunday, maybe a little bit Friday, but especially Saturday and Sunday, I have to pause and just an enormous heartfelt thank you to Josh Egebean and to Ben Conway and to Mark O'Brien and to Sean Harker, to Raging Spoon, to John and Troy and Brandon from Grindstone, to Jason Beneview from Spiro Toys, from James Duffy and Haggerty. Those guys this weekend, they had A more than I did. He sat behind all their booths. He ran around, was pulling people to the After Action Report booth to try and sell things. He was hanging out with Skeletron. He was hanging out with Grindstone. He was asking to play with the prototypes. He had the complex set up. He had covered it in figures. He ran and was helping them out and doing favors and running errands. It is an incredible amount of thank you I have to give to all of these gentlemen for the way they interacted with him and allowed him to interact with them. And that's before anything else, right? Like, that's not even talking about all the details of Saturday and Sunday and what else and everyone else I have to thank. But just that, I have to pause what we're doing and say that because they really, really took care of A.
Were you able to catch any panels during the show? Because I was only able to catch a couple that were after the show had closed.
I caught half of Grindstone. I caught half of Skeletron. I caught half of, you know, like all of our friends. I caught half their shows. I missed After Action Report completely, but that was when I was trying to help Greg Berger, but that was Sunday. That was also where Josh was like, hey, listen, you've already seen this panel a couple times. So if you're not there, I get it. And I was like, well, I'm totally going to be there. And then I totally wasn't because I was helping Greg. But that was Sunday. So just Saturday by itself, I tried to catch a couple. Funny enough, Friday night, right at closing of show, I don't remember who it was. Somebody was like, oh, I'm looking forward to your panel tomorrow. I was like, I don't have a panel. Joel and I didn't even table this year because my squirrel ass can't sit behind a table. And Joel is helping Cav. And they were like, no, your name's on the schedule. And I was like, well, you know, I had been asked to help out a little bit. I jump on the schedule. I'm like, ooh, I'm supposed to be interviewing somebody. But that somebody, he told me, he said, when we sit down, you're going to ask me one question. I'm going to talk for an hour. And I was like, You know, I interview people. I've done it for a living. Like, I do it for this podcast. I have fun. I don't mind talking to you. He was like, sure. And then we sat down at the table. I asked him one question and he talked for an hour. I think I broke in with maybe two other questions. They were useless questions. He didn't need me. So I just sort of felt like a dummy sitting there in front of Carson recording everything and the audience of 20 people as he just talks. I'm completely flaccid and useless. But that was really the only panel before Sunday that I sat through the entire thing.
I caught Skeletron and I caught Chicken Fried Toys.
I missed the Chicken Fried Toys completely. I would have loved to have sat in Russell's panel.
It was awesome. He actually got some factory updates on his way to the panel. He was able to show us some in-hand samples, in photo in-hand, not here they are, you know, photos from his factory rep of stuff that's in production. He was able to show us all sorts of amazing stuff that's coming down the pipeline. All the images are on his website and on his Facebook group. So if you have any interest in seeing them, which I would recommend, it's amazing. What he's got planned with the Wild Tales of the West is, I've already gushed about it before.
You're so much more in tune with his product because it is your architecture, a figure. You went from like, the Wild West is fine to touching them and immediately being like an enormous fan. From my perspective, like I walked past his booth a few times and I love the dial setups and he always had a grip of people around his booth. But seeing Keone Young's figure was, I was blown away. Not surprised. I wasn't surprised, not even a little bit. But I still was blown away by the detail and the beauty of a 4-inch, completely recognizable Keone Young.
One of my big standout moments of the trip was, and I said this about Spiro Toys last year, but I was able to walk up to Russell's booth. I was able to buy the new wave of stuff of the Buckaroo Blanks, and I was also able to grab the two celebrity figures and look at him as I'm purchasing this. And that's something we don't get to do a lot collecting toys because generally there is middle people in between. But that's the magic of these indie toy lines and hitting these shows and doing that is I have the opportunity to be like, hey, man, we've talked. You know I ride with your stuff. Here I am. I love this stuff. I'm not normally an autograph guy.
Same.
But with him sitting there.
Sure.
I planned on getting two of each of the celebrity figures anyways. I went over. I had him sign one. It's personalized, which is fine because it's never...
I prefer that. If I'm going to do a signature, I want it personalized. I don't understand an impersonal signature if you're a signature collector. But then again, I'm not. So please don't tell me why I'm wrong. Just my picadillos.
The guy who got me into Deadwood, I sent him the picture of the figure signed and he lost his mind.
Did you have to get him one?
Well, so what I did is I went back and I grabbed 8x10. From a still from the show, and I had him make the signature out to my buddy, and it was just awesome because he ended it with, "Tell Skylar to get his ass down here next time." So I forwarded the message. I don't think we'll see him next year, but it was awesome. He was truly so personable and so gracious with his time because he always had a line. There was four people behind me, and I tried to be very in and out in those situations because let's face it, like they're there to make money. So if you got somebody hogging up the table, you might have someone who's waited 20 minutes and they might say, I'll just catch him later. Like whatever.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I'll talk about it more when we talk about Sunday, but I'm glad you had that interaction and I'm glad you had a chance not only to buy directly from Russell, but that you had things you could buy from Russell because you have all of Chicken Fried Toys already. So this is great.
Leading up to the show, I had reached out to him and I was like, I'm looking forward to buying them directly from you instead of ordering them. It saves you a step. It's not about the $15 in shipping or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
It's like why I love going and buying from Marauder. And I can't wait until the Skeletron stuff is available because you know what? When I want that next batch of army builders, I'm going to wait. And I'm going to roll up to Joe Fest. I'm going to say, give me five of him. You know, it's...
Ben, put them in the bag. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talked about this last year with Spiro Toys. I think this is really something that I had never considered, not once considered before you started talking about it with me. And it's why I've never bought Complex from Small Joe's, but I've bought hundreds of dollars worth of Complex from Spoon directly. Even, you know, jumping ahead to Sunday night at like 2 a.m. and he's asking, like, did you get everything you want? And I'm like, yeah, I have everything I could have wanted. And then I went, oh, dude, I never stopped by your booth to buy some things. And he's like, that's fine. You know, we'll catch you next time. And I was like, no. I truly wanted to. And he's like, well, what did you want? And I was like, I don't know. I was going to grab like $100 worth of stuff. He goes, oh, okay. And then I wander off. And when I come back, he's got two things sitting there. He's like, this is $100 worth. I was like, well, shit, man, take my money.
I was sitting right there for that. It was awesome because he was.
Well, that's still tomorrow night. That's Sunday night. But back,
yeah, okay, Saturday.
Back to Saturday. I'm just reiterating what you're saying. Like, the ability to buy directly from the creative team is so much more enjoyable than clicking buy now and going to your cart on BBTS. Not to take anything away from BBTS. We all owe them a lot of money and time, but just being able to look a creator in the eye and purchase from them and talk to them about why you love the product, that it's awesome. And the fact that we're becoming familiar with some of these creators and even friendly with and even friends with some others, it's not a sign of the podcast. It's a sign of being a part of the community at community functions. It's really neat. And so I'm glad you had that experience with Russell because you brought him onto the show and he was incredible. And our 5.5 hour talk was a 2-hour, 10-minute episode. And I got to have some really great in-depth conversation with him. But you got to do what you love to do, and that's stop by the booth and buy from the creative team, looking them right in the eye and telling them why you like what you're buying. I bought from Russell at the swap meet, at the toy swap. It was a small room, so people were filtering in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And right at the end, Russell walks in and drops heat.
I sent you that picture, and I was like, you got to get down here right now. I don't care what you're doing.
So I was in the middle of pooping. I didn't even wipe. No. you were like, be here now. So I was in the middle of conversation. I was like, pardon me for a moment. I rush over there, and I walk into Kaufman Jr. and Russell sitting across the table from each other. Is this, there's some sort of like war peace treaty about to be signed.
Magnifying glass out.
Yeah, there's all these figures on the table, and they're all of them power figures, hitters. And I look at the table and I look over at Kaufman. I go, hey, these two, are those part of your conversation? He was like, no. And I slid them right over to my side. People were interrupting him and Kaufman to buy ones or twosies. And I just sat quietly waiting. As soon as there was a lull, I pulled my cash out and I went, ticka, 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 ticka. Less than eBay. It's from a friend. It's two figures that I want.
I went to his panel. It was great. As soon as his panel was over, I was dying to get some food. He ran bingo. I didn't make it back in time for bingo.
I forgot about bingo. He talked about it so much too, and I meant to like at least pop in, and I completely forgot about it.
I look over and I see a bin of pristine O-ring figures. And I'm looking, and he's like, yeah, I'm hoping there's still something going on down at the lobby. I'm going to head down there with these. I know it's about to be like blood in the water at this point because...
Oh, it was a feeding frenzy, yes.
But he comes in, and everybody knows you're getting what's advertised with Russell.
When he puts it on the table, I mean, it makes a thunk.
And I'm seeing these people that I don't necessarily know personally, but I know who they are. I've met them and interacted with them, standing with you and Todd. And I'm watching, it is like record scratch, car crash. It is like immediately one dude sees what's coming out of this bin. Everybody spins 180, completely stops where they're at, and just floods over to the table. It was amazing to watch.
The two figures I picked up from him are two figures that I already had incomplete, and I have been for 2 years now trying to complete them. And that was Albatross and Abutro Negro, two of the Brazilian Sky Patrol. Albatross is the Joe in the orange. Abutro is Black Vulture for Cobra. I now have an incomplete and a complete version of three of the four Brazilian Sky Patrol.
Just going to call it how it is, but seeing figures of that rarity and just watching people react to them was a treat because you're truly watching people get a chance to pick up and purchase figures that They just don't show up, and they certainly do not show up in that these were never played with. These were, like, the parachutes were folded and stored in the pack the way they were on the blister.
2 years ago, all four Sky Patrol were at toy department on the floor, carted, and they were just outside of my range. And by just outside of my range, about double outside of my range. They did not leave that floor with toy department. They left that floor with someone else. This year, the only Brazilian Sky Patrol I saw on the floor was Escorpião Voador carted. He was within my range, but I would have been done for the weekend. So I skipped him carted, even though he is legitimately my favorite parts build and colorway of all G.I. Joe, regardless of nationality, including U.S. domestic. And I'm not even talking about his equipment. Just the figure itself is absolutely my favorite figure build.
That's Flying Scorpion, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
I didn't want my weekend to be over Thursday at noon, so I didn't buy him carded. He is the one that I don't have an incomplete version of. And if I can find one, I will grab an incomplete Flying Scorpion. After I dropped those off in the room, I ended up talking for a bit with Matt from Podcast from the Pit. Casey was already in bed. Shame on him. I've never really had much more than like 5-6 minute conversations with them as a pair. So to talk to Matt, you know, just one-on-one was really fun. And one of my buddies, Lance, walks over and joins the two of us. Matt wanders off, and then Matt and I are standing there when some craziness hits the lobby room floor, to which we go over and we're looking at pre-production stuff and some really cool, nobody's really seen before, comes from Kirk's collection kind of thing, until I had to excuse myself from seeing that level of just historical relevance and beauty to go watch a lightsaber duel, Rage and Spoon, throughout the lobby, up the stairs, all the way down the lobby, down those stairs at the far end, back up and around, all the way back down. Those two lightsaber dueled so much Saturday on the floor and Saturday night, and then again Sunday and Sunday night. I'm going to have to end up buying a lightsaber.
I caught their duel in different various passing phases. It seemed like an hour and a half. It was awesome. Truly awesome.
Saturday was weird, man. I mean, there was that part. There's two big dramas. There's a few thousand people. Drama's going to happen sometimes, right? But outside of that, there's just some incredible stuff. Like the book of pre-production stuff that I saw. Like, I don't want to say too much because it's not mine, but wow. And then the lightsaber duels. You know, I don't know if, like, how much you want to get into Saturday night, because you and I, as you said, we shut the joint down. We were like the last three or four.
You know, I'm not going to get into any specifics, but the most upsetting thing about the drama was that it disrupted the lobby for about 2 hours. What kills me is, you know, I had said to myself, okay, I'm here to hang out. I'm here to have a good time. I'm going to give myself the 2:30 limit for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If I can sneak off to bed by 1 on Sunday, so be it. If not, 2 is still somewhat okay, I guess, for me to try to make this drive home. And, you know, everything happened because I could have went to bed. I said, you know what? This is not going to be how my Saturday night ends. I've been waiting for this specific night, because Saturday is when people kind of let loose a little bit.
Hardcore. Yeah.
You've had Friday and Saturday of the show. Sunday is always an easy day at the show. So we stayed up till about 5 a.m.
The drama aside, in the end, it became funny stories. I know we weren't the very last to go to bed. I know Big Rich and some others stayed up, you know, until sunrise, but we were still in the last four or five. I'm looking at the clock. It's 4:15. Russell's talking to somebody. You're talking to somebody. Duffy's there, like Ben and Aaron, and we're all still awake, right? And it's 4:15. And I look at Sean and I was like, dude, I got to cut it, man. I got to go to bed. And this is where A had fallen asleep in the lobby. I let him sleep for a little bit. Give me your room key and I'll just go to bed. I said, okay. And I watch him walk all the way down the hallway and go to the room. Todd's already gone to bed as well. 4:15, I walk all the way down there. I get to the room and I realize I gave A my room key. I'm beating on the door. He doesn't wake up. Todd doesn't wake up. You and Spoon and Cav are like, yeah, you can bunk with us. I was like, all right, I'm probably going to do that. Let me go to the front desk first. The front desk, the lady's just like, what's the name? What's the card number? What's the phone number? What's the zip code? I'm like, what's your blood type? I was like, I don't know. It's my kids asleep in there. It's 4:30 in the morning. I'm tired. Security makes some sort of comment. I looked at security. And I was like, do a lot of people spend hours drinking in your lobby to then try and grift a room at 4:30 in the morning? And at this point, I'm a little tired. I'm a little grumpy. Maybe it was rude. But he was like, it really doesn't matter how many people try to do it. I'm not letting you in that room. And while he and I are talking, the lady called the room, woke Todd up. It was a fun night. Sunday was surreal. I was up at 8 a.m. after all of what I just said. So we were on the floor by 9. Saturday, I ended up spending like an hour and a half with Arthur Burkhart, the voice of Destro and Stalker and Iceberg, because David T. Allen had to go do a panel. He was like, hey, can you sit here and hang out? You're damn right I can. But Sunday, you and I, we walked Greg Berger to lunch, which turned into a fiasco, which he was incredibly sweet and kind to both of us. Greg Berger is the voice of Spirit, Firefly, Cutter, Moto Viper, and someone else. Ripcord. You and I walked to lunch. We're both busy. We don't think about calling ahead. They've only been open for a little while, and we tried to do it after the lunch rush. We found out later that the people that came in 5 minutes after they opened still took 2 hours to get food. So there was no lunch rush, not lunch rush. It was just slow. It was cool. He and I were talking back and forth and jazzing on art and the art of voice and talking and these things. And then you and him started going deep into music. It was awesome. I'm sitting here talking with Firefly or Spirit and listening to him talk about your style of music. And before we left, when we were leaving, Keone Young was like, hey, grab me some food too, Greg. When I returned, he's like, you walked Greg back because it was just taking too long.
It was funny because when we got in there, I was panicking a bit because I could read the room. I knew it was going to be.
Absolutely.
So I had said to him, I was like, hey, you know, we can put in an order to go. I said, one of us can head back with you. No. I insist we stay. About an hour in, he's like, maybe we should head back. And I was like, we're on the last day, man. We got to get you back.
Like, yes.
You know, I hesitate a lot to tell people what I play, what I do. It's like anything else. When you are actually, you know, deep into something, there's always going to be what the majority of people think it is versus what it really is.
Sure.
I mean, that fits perfectly with what we do as G.I. Joe collectors or toy collectors as a whole.
Yes.
I play aggressive music. He brought it up and he was throwing out names that like truly kind of shocked me. But then, you know, later in the conversation, he was like, well, you know, my son was into that and he had a band going for a while, but it just things didn't line up right and inner band turmoil. And I said, yeah, I go, that's how it works. You know, it was pleasant and it was fun. And, you know, he actually went to college. He knew a lot of where I grew up. Yeah, but it was just such a nice conversation because he was very familiar with the region I grew up in, and he's very familiar with the type of music that I participate in. So it was amazing.
It was joyful.
Yeah.
Less than 10 minutes of you walking him back, they called for our table and they called for our carryout order within the same like minute. And I gave Keone Young his food and he was like, thank you, Jason. I really appreciate that. And I was like, okay. I met this man once for like 5 minutes, 2 hours ago. And he's, Jason, how are you, sir? You know, come on, Keone Young. I talked to him for a brief few moments while giving him his food. Very delightful. At a different point in the day, I was able to take Greg over to the G.I. Joe declassified booth, where there was a two-up of Cutter. And I wanted to introduce him to the person who owned the two-up, but he wasn't around, unfortunately. But we walked up to the D-Class booth at exactly the wrong time. They were doing some sort of raffle. I think they were raffling off a sight line. And so the booth was crowded. We wormed our way in. I'm showing him and I'm looking at it. And later on, I was talking to Sam, who I've only met a couple times, and Chris Murray, who I'm friends with. And both of them were like, dude, you should have said something. That's Greg. I agree with you, but also you guys had a job to do as well. Later on, I was able to introduce him to Dan Klingensmith and Paige Wagner. When I was supposed to be introducing him to J.E. Russell, it was great to be able to introduce him to Paige and Dan and Dan could show him a few things. And he was really kind of wowed by the pre-production process and the level of intimate knowledge that our community holds. I hope we see him at future Joe Fests.
Because he actually had cartoons that bled over into my childhood. So it was neat to kind of like, he hit me with a couple of voices and it was just like surreal. Because I'm just like, whoa, like, okay. Like, holy shit. He actually made a comment on his impression of, when I say us, I'm talking the community, not the two of us, but us as a whole, with just dedication and seeking out so much more than maybe other communities realize is possible.
He told you and I this story that at Joe Fest this year, a collector of Native descent came up and was teary-eyed in talking about him doing the voice of Spirit and how Spirit was the only cartoon character that represented him and his people in a positive way when he was a child. It was really a sweet story. I had Saturday afternoon seen somebody walk up to Arthur Burkhart's table and do the same thing and start to cry because Arthur, being not just Destro, but also Stalker and Iceberg, giving this man like true representation of himself on TV in a real positive light. And because I was the help, I jumped up and was immediately like in that dude's ear with like, give me your phone. I'm taking the picture. Capture this moment. It is a great reminder of how impactful G.I. Joe was outside of yours and my experience. Just beautiful reminders of how broad our community truly is. After the show was closed, loaded out Todd's booth, I knew you were working with Cav. I had walked around to do something and I ended up sitting down with Russell and we had a great conversation, deep conversation, something that I would never have with anybody I've only known for 1 5.5 hour Skype call and then, you know, a handful of hours over a weekend. But he's just that type of guy. And we both just opened up and we were talking. It was very lovely. And I do consider Russell somebody that I enjoy in this community. And I would like to spend more time getting to know and hanging out with, maybe having a couple beers. After the show Sunday, the show is over. The show is closed. It's 5 o'clock. Pack your shit. Get out. But that's not what happened. Just like Thursday, before the show was ever opened, Sunday, there was lobby swaps. There were toys being swapped and sold in the lobby of the Marriott after Joe Fest is over and again until around 2 in the morning. This is the Joe Fest experience, right? You show up because there's toys, but you hang out, you stay because there's us. And I can promise you in the more than 115 names that I wrote down that I can actively pull up, I'm missing at least a few. And again, that's not even including the people whose names I may not know. It was, it was incredible. Sunday, we stayed up until, I don't know what time you went to bed. You went to bed early because you had to leave early. You had to leave, 12 to 24 hours before you ever anticipated having to leave.
I went to bed probably about 2-ish, maybe a little later.
Quite as early as I thought. Before we go, you went to bed and drove home. Back to your conversation of, you may not have heard of some of the bands that like I play in or I sound like. You and Brian started rocking. I just sat back and listened because Brian was like, test me, son. And he was throwing some names.
I was shocked. Now, again, it's...
delighted?
Yes, it was awesome. And it was, music is a very important and significant thing to me. And I don't get to talk about it within this community quite as much. A lot of the times because there is an age gap and I try not to rest on that age gap too much.
You and I have talked about music for hours on end and I have never stumped you on music. I listen to everything and I've heard some crazy names and some crazy music from your side of the spectrum, but I don't know shit. And then when I start talking about the things that I'm really into, you're like, yeah, I know that. And what about this? Oh yeah, their second album is. I'm like, God damn it, I can't stump you.
When I'm passionate about something or if I'm interested in something, like I never stop at the bass level.
for me, it was downloading music. So you can go all the way back to like Napster, but even now with Pandora and Spotify and XM Radio, they ruined my ability to do that. I used to be that way with DJs and certain types of underground music, and it's just all that is all gone. If I can remember a band name for 15 minutes, I'm lucky, and I'll never remember an album or a song name.
Yeah, that's definitely a massive conversation for another time on the effects of the double-edged sword that is music streaming.
I bring it up because I know you were about to go into like when you went to bed and your drive home, but I thought it was important to mention that Brian Sauer, he played the Test Me game, and you and he were able to go longer than I could sit and watch. Like, I was enjoying it, but also I keep telling people I don't sit down at bars and clubs. And Sunday night, everybody's like, just have a seat. And it ruined me. And at one point, somewhere around 3:30 in the morning, I'm standing up and falling asleep. My body just was like, it's time to rest. You sat down for like 2 hours. You're clearly ready to go to bed. I was like, I'm not. I might have made it to like maybe 5 to 10 people still awake when I went to bed, but I did not make it to the end.
I left Monday morning. Took a little bit longer than I had hoped, which is life. It was nice to get home. Last year was bad. I spent 2.5 hours in standstill traffic on the highway.
Took us maybe 7.5 hours to get home. We missed lunch with Ed and them because we woke up like, you know, we're getting in the shower as they're leaving for lunch, which is unfortunate. Last year, you know, we got to have lunch with Ed and them at the end of the show, and it would have been nice to have seen them off. But instead, we did our thing. I do have to thank Patrick, not Picard Stewart, for his incredible patience with all of us and his time again with Alexander. There's so many people I could thank for the way they interact with Alexander. And I am absolutely leaving out a huge piece of Sunday, which we'll talk about later. But know that this is not a comprehensive breakdown of Joe Fest. This is you and me laughing and riffing off of the things we can remember, minus a couple pieces of drama and at least one or two like enormous things. We're not even talking about our hauls right now, right? Yes, I got 2 Brazilian figures. You got a grip of shit because we're a toy show. Like, what was like your one, what was the one like biggest, most impressive thing that you brought home?
This is pretty simple.
2 hours later.
2 hours later. There was a woman there, her husband had passed, and she was selling off his collection. And luckily for her, she split a booth with a gentleman who I believe was a friend, and he's also a hardcore collector, so he was able to help her. The guy was a community guy. I'm blanking on his name, but he had been to a million Joe-Cons. People knew him, and one of his buddies was there helping with a booth, which was awesome. And it was nice because a lot of really, really nice high-end stuff. This is where I spent most of my money for the weekend. The woman and I kind of really hit it off. It was great because I was able to, the same thing I do with everybody else. I make a pile of what I want. I see the price tag on it. They tell me what they want. If they want exactly what's on the price tag, hey, that's fine because I made the pile. And within this mix, I'll just say I stumbled into a club exclusive 2-pack from the Night Force convention set.
That's the one with Chuckles.
Yes, Chuckles and Freestyle. I never thought that I would own it because the secondary market on that particular 2-set is sickening. I got it for a hell of a deal with a huge pile of stuff that I bought. My brain is wired in a way where I remember where I buy things at shows. You know, obviously when I'm going crazy and buying stacks of Army Builders, that's one thing. But when I was sharing pictures with you, I was able to say, I got this at this booth, this at this booth, this at this booth, this at this booth. Not only just that 2-pack with that Chuckles figure, which has been a figure I've wanted for years, and I was able to help her out and also help myself fill out massive spots in my collection that I just truly never thought I would have because it was, they don't show up very often. You know, the club stuff was always limited, especially the convention stuff. And most people who went don't want to get rid of it. The crown jewel of my haul for the weekend is probably that particular 2-pack. And having a nice story attached to it. And I'm going to always be able to look back and remember that exact weekend. Because every time I walked by the booth, we said hi. I stopped in every single day and bought more stuff. That'll be a very special part of my collection forever.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.